Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome to Right Spokane Perspective on this Time for Action Tuesday episode, because we need to take action when it comes to all the things around us and take care of the world around us. We have a guest, local guest here in Scott Kusel. He is from Spokane. He's got a story to tell, and we're going to jump into that, having to do with our elections. And of course, elections are important. We all need to make sure that we are active in our government. We want to make sure that our vote counts. Sometimes we feel like our votes might just get cast along the side of the road, but we still need to turn out and vote regardless of the issues with elections. And that is going to be part of the topic for today with Mr. Kusel. We're going to jump into that conversation after inspiration.
Our inspiration today is spotting rainbows of hope. During an October vacation, another battle with chronic pain forced me to spend a few days recovering in our room. My mood became as overcast as the sky. When I finally ventured out to enjoy sightseeing at a nearby lighthouse with my husband, gray clouds blocked much of our view. Still, I snapped a few photos of the shadowy mountains and the dull horizon. Later, disappointed because of a downpour tucked us in for the night, I skimmed through our digital pictures. Gasping, I handed my husband the camera. A rainbow! Focused on the gloominess earlier, I'd missed out on God refreshing my weary spirit with the unexpected glimpse of hope. Physical or emotional suffering can often drag us down into the depths of despair. Desperate for refreshment, we thirst for reminders of God's constant presence and infinite power. As we recall the countless times God has come through for us or for others in the past, we can trust that our hope is secured in Him no matter how downcast we feel in the moment. When bad attitudes or difficult circumstances dim our vision, God invites us to call on Him, read the Bible, and trust His faithfulness. As we seek God, we can rely on Him to help us spot rainbows of hope arched over the darkest days. Heavenly Father, we thank You for refreshing our spirits and turning our pleas for mercy into hope-filled praises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, there is rainbow of hope, and we see those after storms. And right now, I think the storm and the rainbow that I see that's great is a flood of citizens being more engaged with government. And they say, if you see something, say something. And it seems so oftentimes we have citizens, well, we don't want to get involved, we don't want to say anything. But we do still have citizens that do say something when they see something. And we have that situation and a citizen on the line with us today. And Scott Kusel, who did see something, said something, got some news on it, and it had to do with our elections. But first, I just want to introduce Scott to the audience here. So thanks for coming on with us today.
Glad to be here, Tim. Thank you for reaching out.
Yeah, so just tell the listeners out there who's Scott Kusel. You know, what have you done with your life? How long have you been in Spokane?
Well, I think I've been here long enough to be considered almost a native. I came here right after high school. I've been here, been living here since about 1988, first in the city of Spokane, and now we're living out in the Spokane Valley. I have bopped around to a couple of different careers. Most recently, I have had taken on the task of buying and rehabbing of houses in Spokane, and then that just kind of evolved into a job, stopped working for myself and then started working for somebody else. And now I'm just working as a project manager, still in the construction field, but working in and around Spokane, installing windows, doors, and siding with a major national manufacturer.
Oh, okay, great. So you know how things get constructed and the moving parts of projects. And with government, I know that you've got your opinions about government and how it operates and the amount of waste. As a project manager, you can see that you can't put the plumbing in before the studs are in, but you need the plumbing at least to the job site. And so there's a process that effectively works to produce something. And we have a government that there's so many broken processes, and I know that you point those out from time to time. I see you doing that, and you ended up coming across a situation that we all are concerned about, this mail-in ballot process. Where do the ballots go? How do they get handled? And then, I don't know if you've heard about this, but we had an interview where it actually turns out that the mail from a lot of areas in the state actually goes out of state to get processed and then come back in, including our election ballots. So there's a lot of different things with the mail-in ballot system where I think that there's issues, and I'm glad more citizens are paying attention. And the story that you stumbled upon is another reason why we as citizens should be proactive in making sure our ballots are handled as properly as we can so that we can preserve this constitutional representative republic. So tell us about that story.
Well, I do certainly miss the days of the walking into a polling place and going into a voting booth with an actual paper ballot and, you know, punching it out. But we've had the all mail-in voting in Washington now, probably a couple decades now.
Yeah.
And recently, and one of the things about the mail-in voting is that the envelopes are very distinctive. You know, they're a bright white envelope with red writing on the outside of them. And that's kind of what caught my eye. About a week and a half ago, it would have been Thursday, the 4th of April. I happened to be coming back from a project. I was visiting a job site north of Spokane and happened to come back into town down Freya Street, you know, under the Green Street Bridge to the construction site there, and then up on Carlisle to where I was about to meet Green Street and cross over the Green Street Bridge. I'm checking to my left for traffic, and just on the ground in the middle of the intersection, I saw what looked like ballots. It was two white pieces of paper, and I saw that distinctive red ink on the outside of them. And I looked at that, and I was about to pull out. I had a break in traffic, and I was about to pull out, and something told me that I just shouldn't do it. I should stop and confirm what I saw. Fortunately, there was nobody behind me, so I backed my truck up and parked it into an apartment parking lot that was right adjacent to there. And I walked in the middle of the street and found these two ballots that appeared to be outgoing ballots just lying in the middle of the street.
Now, these were ballots that were tied to the presidential primary.
No, these were ballots that are actually tied to a water district, or excuse me, a fire district election. For Fire District 9. Those were the only two. It's April 24th, I believe, is the election day.
Oh, okay.
And there's only two items on the ballot. One is the Fire District north of town, and one would be, I think, Freeman Schools.
So these were ballots that were a ways away from the actual voting district, because, I live not too far away from there. It could have been, you know, whatever special election, but this actually was a special election in a total different area.
Yeah, these were live ballots. These were ballots that were on their way to a voter. And what I had done when I got out of the truck, I looked up the sidewalk, and you could see on the sidewalk just a string of ballots up the street. So I walked up the street probably two blocks and picked up probably 15 ballots on the would have been the west side of the street.
Now, when this story came out, go ahead. Let's start with what you saw is interesting, because I there were some things that I popped into my head as soon as I saw this story. So go ahead first.
What was interesting is that I went back to work, punched out, and it was on my way home. And I thought, you know what? I didn't look at the other side of the street. I didn't even look across the street. So I went back there on my way home. Instead of going straight home, I went back to the scene of the, I want to say crime, but the scene of the ballots. Walked on the other side, which would be the east side of Green Street, and found another half a dozen or so ballots on that side of the street. So I get in my car. I've got close to 30 ballots in my car. And the funniest part is I was afraid for my safety and my security, because here I am with ballots that aren't mine in my car.
Right. Well, and the nice thing was at least you took video of where these ballots were and you picking them up. I'm thinking, well, same thing. You know, do you send this video to authorities, to several different locations, so they got evidence that, hey, these ballots, I'm picking them up. They're on the side of the road. And you said a scene of a crime. It could be.
But that was exactly why I shot the video. I shot the video because I wanted to make sure that there was some kind of proof that I actually found these on the street.
When that video came out, I'm thinking, okay, so somebody went door to door, stole ballots, and then just were tossing them as they left. Well, that's not just a passerbyer, because it wasn't even in the district, it was quite a ways away where these ballots were supposed to be delivered. And then you're thinking, well, you know, maybe a mailman's driving down the road. He's got his window open. Mail starts blowing out. But there wasn't a bunch of other mail. It was just election ballots.
And to say just election ballots is it's probably the most important mail that goes out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was only election ballots, but it wasn't, you know, like other mail, like bills and junk mail. And it was election ballots only. And so it's not like, okay, well, this didn't just blow out of a mail truck then, because you'd see other mail.
There was one other piece of mail that I found, which looks like it was a credit card solicitation. But outside of that, there was no other mail.
Oh, okay, so there was one other piece of mail.
One other piece of mail.
Out of the plethora of junk mail that we all receive, you know, whether it's credit card applications or pamphlets or flyers, whatever, it's still pretty amazing that out of 26 mail-in ballots, there was only one other piece of mail.
Yeah, and I've thought a lot about that. And the thing that I came to the conclusion is that I have a hard time assigning malice or ill intent to something that could more easily be explained with incompetence.
Yeah.
And we are talking about the U.S. Postal Service, and I don't mean incompetence like, you know, it's just the fact that the Postal Service has never provided the highest quality service.
Well, there's been plenty of stories in past years where a mail person will choose not to deliver the mail, and you will end up with, you know, a person that ends up actually getting caught, and they've got a basement or a shed or, you know, some place where they're just dumping the mail and got caught because they didn't want to do their route.
And that was one of my thoughts too. If it was somebody stealing mail, or if it was a postal carrier not wanting to deliver it, that it likely would have just wound up in a dumpster. And interestingly enough, there was a dumpster at the apartment building that just my own curiosity made me look into it. I did not see any other mail or ballots in the dumpster.
Yeah, so that it's a really strange occurrence to find that. And, you know, when I said earlier it was only election ballots, I think about that when, you know, the possibilities are going through my head. Where did these things come from? You know, we have mail delivery people that we've got these porch pirates that steal packages. But when elections are happening, which are crucial things, I mean, obviously we've got the city of Spokane, there's going to be a special election coming up. Sounds like the mayor's going to try to do like a monster tax increase, the like one of the largest single tax increases our city's ever done, I think. And we're going to have to vote on these things. And you think about that and you're like, well, if somebody can go door to door right after the postman delivers the ballots, you see them sticking out of everybody's mailboxes, you know, on houses, or you see that ballots are out, they could just be stealing mail. And that can affect the outcome of an election. Obviously, there's a lot more things that can occur, like this situation here, however it unfolded, whether, like you said, it was incompetence, maybe not malice, but the mail obviously didn't get delivered. And these were our elections, our governance. And it just seems like there should have been already information that has come out to the public in a very big way to say, this is how this happened, because we already have enough doubt in our mail-in election system in this country since COVID.
Yeah. And that was the reason that I took this to the media, is because if I would have just taken this to the elections office or to the postal service, nobody would have said anything about it.
It would have been silent. It would have been, thanks, Scott Kusel, for your concerned citizenship. And you did the right thing. We'll get this handled. We'll see you later.
We'll just bury it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back again with Scott Kusel, concerned citizen, found 26 ballots along the side of the road. Hopefully those ended up in the right hands so those folks could vote. We'll be right back. Thank you to all the listeners that listen to the show so we can all stay informed on what's going on here on the Right Spokane Perspective. We also want to thank all those who contribute to keep us on the air. All those contributions go directly to the cost of our airtime and production of Right Spokane Perspective. Again, you can help us out by going to rightspokaneperspective.com and contributing. Also, make those checks payable to Right Spokane Perspective, LLC, send them to P.O. Box 7620-99207. We appreciate all those contributions to keep us on the air. Again, WrightSpokanePerspective.com, Wright Spokane Perspective LLC, P.O. Box 7620-99207. Back to the show. And welcome back to Wright Spokane Perspective on this Time for Action Tuesday episode. We've got a citizen that took action. He saw something. He said something. He documented it. He made sure that the public could see where there was a void in security for one of our sacred processes, and that is elections. This is an occurrence. We've seen this across the country with the questions of our elections where ballots get mishandled. We've seen in Washington State a number of times where they call basically elections. They say, well, we found a bunch of more behind the filing cabinet, or a bunch came in late in the mail, and you're thinking, I'm not sure that this system's very good. Maybe it needs a little bit more refining. Well, Scott, I'm going to bring you back into the conversation. What all ensued once you shared this with the media, and have you had other people reach out to you to ask about your concern about elections?
So I was able to make contact the next day with the county elections office, and they asked, you know, they asked what time I'd like to bring them by. And of course, I made it down to their election office. Never was able to speak. Well, I shouldn't say that. I spoke very briefly to Vicki Dalton, our auditor, but she didn't want to really discuss it much or disclose much about it. And she hasn't returned a subsequent phone call. So I'm not really surprised by that. I understand this is pretty embarrassing for them, even though it's not their fault necessarily, or you know, not directly their fault, that she doesn't want to talk about it or talk to me about it, because this is where I get to talk a little bit about my opinions. I don't think much of the way many parts of our government are run, and particularly the elections department. Just there have been enough questionable practices.
Yeah, well, and I would say also, you know, I've talked with you before about things, and we could call them irregularities.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. They're definitely things that make you think and that make you question the very system that we're supposed to be counting on. You know, the fact that the biggest takeaway for me here, and I couldn't even find anyone to talk to at the Postal Service personally. I made a few calls to a few 800 numbers, but it was all just dead ends.
Well, and this media report came out, you would think that the Postmaster General, somebody, some supervisor, the post office, you would see the auditor, the post office, you would see them coming out saying, we are investigating, we're getting to the bottom of this, we will have results for the public within days. And we've heard nothing.
Yeah, and that is particularly frustrating to me, that nobody seems to want to address it.
But every time somebody comes up and says, hey, I have an issue with the processes, you know, we don't like the fact that our signature and phone number and party affiliations on the outside of the envelope, is there a way we can secure that better? And you just get told, no, it's our election system. You just got to deal with it. Well, why are we not asking for accountability? I think other elected representatives should be all over this. I mean, if they want the elections that they're going to be running in the next election cycle to be secure, you would think other elected officials would be wanting to get to the bottom of this as well.
Yeah, I would think that, except that there is a definite division of classes that I'm noticing. And it is the political class and it is the citizen class. And the citizen class doesn't seem to get the right anymore to even question the political class. And that's, you know, I've heard people talk about the uniparty, where it doesn't matter whether you're talking about Democrats or Republicans. You're talking that they do the exact same thing. You know, they right. basically close people out of the process. And now that's not saying that there are not good people inside the party, you know, the parties. But the problem is that the good people get steamrolled by the establishment.
Well, and the establishment votes for tax revenue that comes in. These elections are expensive. We're spending, they said that mail-in ballots were going to be easier, higher voter turnout, save money. We're not saving money. We get a elections where you have, you know, 20 or 30% voter turnout, but 100% of the people get this, like you pictured, the reason why this thing stood out to you is because it's an odd size envelope. It's an envelope inside of an envelope with an envelope and an odd size piece of paper in there. All of that's expensive to produce, and we mail them out everywhere. And we're trying to figure out, you know, voter turnout. And I mean, I've gotten really into elections, and I look at the way some elections turn out, and it's really strange that voters have dramatic swings in precincts. And you're like, did they actually vote those ballots? Are they missing? Why is the nursing home voting in higher propensity than the surrounding neighborhood? You know, so you just look at these oddities, if you will.
And that is completely valid. That type of irregularity. And the other thing that frustrates me about it is they keep saying that if we just do this one more thing, then the elections will be perfect. Well, you know, the latest thing that they said they were going to do to make the elections perfect was to start paying for return postage. And that's how we're going to get all these people to turn out, because we can't find a freaking stamp.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
And here we are. We're paying postage now, and we're not getting any better turnout.
Well, and a lot of the people, it's a free stamp, and the people that don't care about the political process or just want to mock it, they will write lewd things on their ballot and send it back in, and we're subsidizing those people that don't fill out their ballots, that just, you know, put bad things in there, kind of like, I don't know, maybe some kind of powdery substance.
You know, I've not heard of that in particular, but
the
powdery substance. I did hear about that, but I was thinking about the lewd, sending in lewd comments. But
and then people vote for like Mickey Mouse. They do write-ins, write themselves in, and they basically waste their ballot, and they're wasting our tax dollars on not just mailing to them, but also the postage mailing back, like you brought up.
Well, for full disclosure, I've written myself in on the notion of writing, you know, writing your own name in. There have been enough races where there hasn't been two candidates in it. When there's not two candidates, I won't ever vote for just a single candidate. I'll write my own name in.
Well, and citizens have that right, but I know that you're also filling out the rest of your ballot. You're an informed citizen, so you're not wasting that resource that the taxpayers are paying for. But so many people do, and of course, if you only have 30% voter turnout, I would think like the environmentalists, the people that want to save funds
to
go to things that actually matter. I don't understand this system. And obviously there's all these other issues. How do ballots end up in garbage cans? How do they end up on the side of the road? Like you found them.
Yeah. And I just wish that somebody would answer the question. You know, these ballots were supposed to be going, north of Francis. So it would have been the, Morgan Acres area. How did they get from here to there? I mean, obviously they've got to come from the county, you know, from the elections office, but that just seems like an out of the way direction for them to get there.
Heck, yeah.
Did these ballots go out of state to get, you know, to get sorted?
Yeah. Well, and obviously if it was a postal carrier, that's way outside of the route that's in that neighborhood as well. So, I mean, there's just, this should be answered. And right after that story came out, you would have thought that the government entities, post office, auditor's office, would have made sure that they did press releases as they found the evidence of how this occurred. But we don't see that. Just like we don't really see lots of evidence when they've got to shut down the counting machines in the middle of an election, and then you see races flip. And I remember that with the elections of our council president a few years back, where one person was ahead by 1,000 or 2,000 votes when you went to bed, and then you woke up the next day and it flipped, and you're like, "What happened there? That's kind of strange." But it didn't happen to any other race.
Yeah, and the narrative that they have fed us, that they make us believe that the people who tend to lean more left vote later, I don't buy that.
Yeah, it used to be the opposite, actually.
Yeah, I just don't buy that. And it's one of those things because we have been all mail-in for so long that I think that story has just died. But it's the same way they want to convince us that inflation is good for us.
Yeah,
it's another one of those false narratives that they say that lie, or that half truth, or you know, flat out lie. They say it often enough if they want it to become true, and it just hasn't.
Right.
I just don't see it.
Yeah, they changed the way that they compile the numbers so it looks better, or they say something like, well, inflation is down, when it's not down. Inflation is actually up. It's just not up as much as it was before when it was really bad.
Yeah, the rate of growth versus the actual inflation number.
Yeah, so it seems like citizens get ripped off a lot. We want to know why. And, you know, we talk about these elections and some of the reasons why elections can flip and some of this stuff seems like it can be manipulated is because of ballot harvesting. And I guess that you came up with a new kind of ballot harvesting and just walking down the sidewalk instead of going door to door to pick up ballots where people are convinced to, or maybe paid or pushed into voting for certain entities. They call it ballot harvesting, going door to door. Now you just, you know, these ballots are growing along the side of the road and you just pick them up like Scott Kusel did when people drop them off.
That's a very interesting concept. I'm not sure that would be the best way to swing an election. And I don't have the larceny in me to do anything with that.
Yeah.
There was a piece of me that just wanted to go to each of these doors and deliver the ballots personally and saying, did you know that your ballot was found on Green Street near Community College?
On the side of the road.
On the side of the road, on the ground. The problem is, I don't think anybody would have, you know, any of the people, I shouldn't, you know, make such a broad statement, but it doesn't seem to me that there'd be a lot of people who would even care or even knew there was going to be an election.
Well, I think there would have been some concerned citizens. You might have had a couple of reports. Now, this would have been reported. This would have been on headlines. You know, Scott Kusel illegally delivering election ballots that he found on the side of the road. You know, that would have been a thing. So I'm glad that you went to the proper authorities. I'm glad that you took the video because it's important for citizens to do just like you did when we see governance that needs to be held accountable, when we see something that's affecting our surrounding communities and our rights, we got to take action like you did and take a video of it, make sure you got the evidence and do the right thing.
What I find particularly interesting or humorous about it is I think about how busy that Green Street corridor is, how many cars and trucks and buses and people walk up and down that street every day.
Oh, tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands. And there were some ballots that I picked up that were pretty brutalized, you know, as far as being run over by cars and mauled and things like that. So they were not, I mean, they were out there for a while.
Yeah. Well, and how many of them, was there another place where this occurred and people picked them up and just treated it like litter and threw it in the garbage? Is this, how often does this happen?
Yeah. What are they hiding?
Yeah, and I think that we need to demand results. I hope that people hear this show and, you know, send it to your friends and let them know. We need to hold our government accountable in so many ways, and we need to make sure that elections is one of those major ways that we hold government accountable, because we got big things coming up, and if our votes aren't even getting to our homes or if they're not getting back, I don't know that we have good elections. So I always encourage everybody, definitely vote, even though we have problems with what we see in the election process. Definitely vote. There's obviously chain of custody is what they call it. Chain of custody issues between the printers and the auditors and the mailers and the post office. And then you got the post office going back, or you got the drop boxes that there's been chain of custody issues in the past. I take my election ballot directly to the auditor's office in any election, and that way we try to eliminate as many hands and processes in our elections. It's very important that we keep these things secure. Thank you, Scott, for doing the right thing and getting those ballots to the authorities. Hopefully those people got to turn out and vote. And Scott, I am really hoping that we get closure on this issue and you get to find out what happened that day and why those ballots were along the side of the road.
Well, Tim, I appreciate you having me.
Thank you very much. Hopefully we don't have to have you back anytime soon on an issue like this, but I'd love to talk to you about some local issues. So if something comes up, get a hold of me for sure. Until then, folks, we will be with you again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.